Going to read in Psalms this evening. I think it was Luke mentioned in prayer the necessity to read and to learn. If we were going to learn about the Lord Jesus, and maybe if this was a classroom, I won't do it, but if this was a classroom, I might say, where would we read if we want to learn about the Lord Jesus? And you'd probably say the four Gospels, and that'd be a good place to start. If you want to learn about history and things that are lessons for our life, would be the Old Testament, the early part of the Old Testament, the first number of books. If we want to learn about church function, we would go to the epistles, Romans through to the end of 3 John. If we want to read about future events, you would say you go to Revelation, and I would add you could go to Daniel, you can go to Isaiah and Ezekiel. All those are give some insight on prophecy, future events. And then if I was to ask you, where would I go if I wanted to get some little gleanings that would help me with daily life? And if you're at youth group on Monday night, you'd learn that the Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. But where would I go if I am in distress, if I'm just not 100% sure where to go? Where would I read? Well, I think that is why the Psalms was written. Five books, all compiled into one book. The main writer would be David. And we can learn so much about conflict, struggles, our relationship with God. We can learn that from the Psalms. And so Wendy and I were just getting ready to go to bed the other night, and just before we go to bed, we listened to two or three chapters, and this chapter just happened to catch me as we were listening to it. Psalm 142. Now, if you were honest and I asked you, have you ever complained to God? You thought I was going to say to your husband or your wife or to your parents. Yes, we've done that. And probably I still do. But do I, be honest, have I ever complained to God? Well, I just didn't think, and you think, no. Now, be honest. Well, the last few years at work, my work doesn't let my mind go quite as much, but today I was watching an end mill go back and forth, back and forth. And I said, well, I might as well be putting this to good use, and I got looking at this chapter, Psalm 142, and just some little lessons for us. So Psalm 142, and I don't intend to be all that long. So it's Maskil of David. The last 12 or 13 chapters of Psalms are written by David. It says, Maskil of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. I don't know if you spend much time in caves, and a man cave doesn't count. I don't know what it'd be like to be in a cave. Well, there was quite a number of times David was in a cave. Wendy and I were talking on the way up, and she said, there was David in the cave, and one of the soldiers were going to take Saul's life, and she said, and they said, no, 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 no. She said, I'd have taken it. But David learned something in caves that marked his life. And then she said there was another opportunity. She said, here he is in a cave, and he won't take the life of somebody that is chasing him. And then she said the next thing, he's ready to take the life of somebody that wouldn't give him food. Well, that was Nabal. And all David's aspect of, in all of David's life, one of the things that Scripture, or the Spirit of God, is very careful to record is that the character of David is marked not only by a nearness, but an awareness. Struggling with the word that I'm trying to think of. He wanted to make sure that his heart was in tune with his God. But have you ever read the Psalms? And you see from David's heart, there's an outpouring. And it's just, it could be a lament. It could be enemies on the other side. Psalm 142 is right in the middle of four or five chapters that David writes. And it's all questions. There's really no answers. And then when I get looking back today at Psalm 139, it says, Lord, you search my heart. You know my uprisings and my downfalls. And then it's right on the heel of that, that it's almost like David's very core is being, he's searching. He's wondering, where is God? And so we're going to read Psalm 142. And this is one of the ones when he was in the cave. So this is likely the cave of Adullam. For sure, one of the times he was there when he was fleeing from Saul. There was another time that he was there. I don't know if it's when he was king. There were others gathered to him. But this one was likely written when David was being chased by Saul. And here's what he says. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. You can read, I think it's Psalm 40 or 41. It says, I cried unto the Lord and he heard me. That is not here. So David says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord I made my supplication. I poured out my complaint. So David was complaining to the Lord. Now, maybe you think, well, is it right to complain to the Lord? Well, David poured out his complaint. He said, I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they secretly laid a snare for me. They set a trap, and I looked at my right hand, and behold, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord, and said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. And so here David, he is pouring out the burden of his heart. David's confidence all through the Psalms is really in God. But it seems in this chapter that he knew God was there, yet he gets no words of reassurance from God. And David is just made to understand, all I can do is just lay it out before God. And this is just the way it was coming to me today as I was thinking about it a little bit. I poured out my complaint. You know, maybe that's not something we like to do. Maybe if my wife starts, let's say husbands don't listen all that well anyway. I've never heard Wendy say that, but maybe she has. But sometimes we'll start to listen, or we'll try to listen, and then we just we lose focus. Maybe somebody is telling us something. But here is David, and he realizes, he understands there's no one else around. Saul, who should have recognized, well, he did recognize who David was, but he hounded him, chased him across the country when looked like things were going, reconciliation was made. Saul goes after him again, and David has nowhere to turn. At one point, it could be this one, he has to go to the cave. It doesn't say that his friends came. It says everyone that was discontented and that was in debt and distress, and they start to flock to him. That would make us complain, wouldn't it? We want help, and all we hear is other people with going through difficulties. And you know, sometimes that describes us, and we just don't know which way to turn. David says, I poured out my complaint. I was just honest before God, and I laid it out before him. I showed before him my trouble. One of the things that we can learn from the Psalms and from 142 is that David, he was willing just to lay it all out. Maybe he didn't understand it. Maybe he didn't even know how to say it, but it just came all tumbling out, and he lays it out before God. He said, my spirit was overwhelmed within me. And then he says, you know my path. And where they have laid snares, where they've been trying to trap me, well, the Lord knows all about that. And I looked on the right, and I looked on the left, even where I thought there was friends. And David says there was none to help. But he says, I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion. You know, David does not hear the voice of God, I don't think, in this psalm. But he knew he was there, and he is petitioning his God. You know that it is in these dark moments where David learns more about God. I'm not going to do it, but I would encourage, I'm not going to take the time to do it, but I'd encourage you to take and read the last 11 chapters, 140 to 150. Now, confession, I didn't do it today, but I have done it before. Read 140 to 150. And you'll see that David is one who is burdened with the cares and the trials of this world, and he doesn't know where to turn. But there's a change. It starts in 144. And by the time you get to 145, he is starting to enjoy his relationship with his God again. He is starting to hear God speak. Maybe you think, I wonder if God even hears me. He does. And sometimes maybe we just don't hear him at the time, but you know what? Here's David. He pours out this, his heart of complaints to God. And I was just appreciating today. By the time you get to 145, he says, I will extol. It doesn't start with a complaint. It starts with a praise. And in every chapter after 145, it's not mentioned in 145, but it's there. There's a worship and praise. As David appreciates the God that he worships. In 145 and 18 it says, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. To some that call, no, it says to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him. Actually, I said praise wasn't in 145. It is. It says, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. So maybe tonight your heart is bowed down with distress and care. And here's something that we can learn from David. David knew what it was to be distressed. To not know where else to turn, but he lays it all before God. And I know these aren't, I don't think these are written consecutively, but they are placed consecutively, luckily by the Spirit of God, or by the Spirit of God. And as this book comes to an end, there's a little note that I had read today. The Psalms are written in five books. The first three books end with amen and amen. So let it be. And then this commentator said the fourth book ends with amen. And I think it's hallelujah. But as this book comes to an end, from 145 on, there is a praise as David again realizes as he comes into the glow of the God that he lives and worships and serves. And in Psalm 150, I think it is 12 times that I counted today, it's praise the Lord. Praise. Let's go to 150 and maybe we'll take the time to read it and then I'll stop there. I don't know when David wrote this. I would like to think that it is as David is coming to the end of his days. And he looks back over a life. There's the ups and there's the downs. There's his failures. There's his successes. But as he thinks of his relationship with God and the God in whom he has entrusted his life to, listen to the words of David. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. And as this marvelous book ends, a book that is filled with distresses and conflict in life, David gets a final glimpse of his God. He gets a final glimpse of our God. From his lips, even in a life that was full of heartbreak and ache and sorrow, David gets his eye upon the God of heaven. He says, we have to praise the Lord. We will praise him. He has heard my complaints. He has allowed me to prosper. He has given me the strength when I needed it. He is my fortress. He is my bulwark. He is my strong tower. And as this great book ends, there is a praise that is ascending to God. You know, sometimes the things of life, we don't understand them. We struggle with them. But when God has his way, and when he works in our life, and we get a glimpse of him like David so often did, you know what our note will be? What our song will be? It'll be like David. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It is all with him. It is all in his keeping. David, he uttered his complaints, but he got his eyes on his God. And so may you and I, maybe it'll be from Genesis, maybe it'll be from the Gospels, maybe it'll be from the Psalms. But as Luke said, when we get in the Word of God, we can get our eyes on him. And we can lift our eyes on him. And it will change. It might not change the circumstances, but it'll give us a fresh glimpse. It will give us, Dad used to say, we needed an attitude adjustment. I got a few of them. Well, sometimes in life, we need an attitude adjustment. You know how we can do it? We can start by talking with God, just laying it out before him. Might not be a cave. Maybe it's a chair. Maybe it's a room. Maybe it's a road you like to walk, and there you lay it all out to God. And he will give you and I a glimpse of himself and of his power And our praise won't be of me. It will be of him. So I trust that this little look at Psalm 142 will be just a little encouragement to you in this life.